Come on, everybody can say yes.
Yes, Lord, for the rest of our lives.
Come on, you can say it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, for the rest of our days. Yes. Yes, Lord, for the rest of our days. Yes. Yes, Lord, for the rest of our days. Yes. Yes, Lord, for the rest of our days. And we will praise Him for the rest of our days.
All right, put your hands together like you mean it. Come on, like everybody's saying, yes. Yes, for the rest of our day. Come on, your own yes. Amen, amen. Let's try together one time. Everybody just say yes.
Yes.
I don't think that was everybody. One more time, yes.
Yes.
Amen, amen, yes. That sounds pretty good. Amen. Let's try one more of those. Should the pastor get a 20% raise?
Yes!
Oh, no, just kidding. So ordered. Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Yes!
Are you going to serve Him?
Yes!
Are you going to serve Him with all your heart?
Yes!
Will you serve Him for the rest of your day?
Yes!
Will your children serve Him?
Yes!
Will your spouse serve Him?
Yes!
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 Amen. Y'all did good. Grab your Bibles, John, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. Amen. Y'all did all right there. John chapter 8, just a couple of verses. Again, cultivating the character of the Christian church. We want to look at today in our independence celebration. We want to look at it from another angle today. We're not going to use one of our former letters. We were doing all of the P's. We're going to shift a little bit and a whole new title to where we're going in this celebration. John chapter 8 at verse 31. Amen. John chapter 8 at verse 31. Again, the New Living Translation. And we're working on being able to throw it up on the screen for you. We're getting there. We're going to have it happening. Amen. It's coming along. I can't see it. Sometimes that might be the best thing. Amen. And y'all ain't got to yell at me either. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32, really, and we're going to be right on into where we want to go. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, that's what He's done for me. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. That's what He's done for me. Amen. God, we thank You so much for this moment. And certainly, God, we thank You for the opportunity to lift up again and to magnify Your name. We thank You again for the people who have gathered in this sacred moment and come to hear again what You are saying to the church. And God, we thank You for speaking to us when others would not, for loving us when others refused to, for drawing us in when others would have cast us away. And God, we thank You for knowing us and still doing all of those things. And now, God, again, as we've gathered in our tent doors, oh God, let Your voice reign above every voice. And Lord, let it cascade down into our ears and upon our hearts, engulf us, cover us in totality, leaving nothing to chance and nothing lacking. Please, God, again, speak to us. We need Your gospel. We need this word of life. We know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Lord, speak to us. Lord, speak to me. I need Your gospel. And then, Lord, I have to ask that You just forgive me of my sins. Lord, have mercy upon me. I need Your mercy, and Your grace, Your compassion. You let me live long enough to hear again what You are saying to the church. that's got to count for something. And it encourages me to know that there is yet still something that you will draw from me, something that you will put into me. I'm still here for a reason. Help me to know better the reason. And, Lord, change my living. Because, Lord, when you change my living, you have really changed my whole life. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. That's what I want to talk about. Ushers, thank you so much. Take a seat. I want to talk about that's what he's done for me. As we're preparing, I know that the calendar can sometimes confuse us and sometimes causes certain bumps in our course of celebration. Some years ago, the federal government decided that to make life a little more convenient for us, they would come up with what they call Monday holidays. And they would move things so that you can be off on Monday and kind of stretch your weekend and give you a little time. But this 4th of July has come at an awkward place in the calendar. We are not actually going to have the 4th of July. Watch this, until the 4th of July. Amen. Typically, we like to celebrate the 4th of July on a Saturday, and Friday, Saturday. But it's going to actually come, strangely enough, on a Tuesday. Now, those of you who got good-paying government jobs and stuff like that, you might get the day off, state jobs. You might get the day off, half day off, whatever. But Independence Day, this year really means a little more to me. And there are a lot of reasons why, not necessarily politically, but even spiritually. And I thought about where we were going in our Cultivating the Character of the Christian Church series. And this really came in at a good time for me. And we're preparing, again, to celebrate. Some of you, it doesn't mean anything. Some of you probably won't do anything in particular because it is on a Tuesday. You probably said to yourself, you know, you'll do something either yesterday or you may get out in the yard or whatever. And that's fine. That's really wonderful. I always believe that the time we share with our families under any occasion, any reason, is a good time. If you just felt like doing it, you'll just do it. But I looked at this and again, Deacon Davis, I'm trying to develop a character among us. And I thought about as we were looking at our nation and looking at what it means to be Christians in America today. The evangelicals have done their thing and they have their opinion of what it ought to look like if we are Christians. The Southern Baptists, other groups or denominations have defined and redefined what it means to be a Christian in this particular environment. But I don't think we ought to politicize our Christianity. I don't think it matters who's in the White House or any house, really, as to what Christians ought to be doing. I think we ought to do what God said and work while we have the light of day. I don't particularly care who the president is, be honest with you. My grandson made a point to me the other day, and children have a way of making you think. I'm going to finish here, Sandra, don't look like that. Children have a way of making you think. He asked me, Melvin, he said, Granddaddy, is Trump the president? I said, yeah. He said, is he your president? I said, no, not really. He said, but Granddaddy, if he the president, he everybody the president. And I was stumped. He is the president. Whether we like it or not, he's president. If we're citizens, better yet, because we're citizens of these United States, and that's our form of government, you know, we the people in order to form a more perfect union. And that's our system, and that's how the system played out. That's our president. And what made me think about that as it relates to preaching is that's how some people look at Jesus. He's Jesus, whether folk want to accept that or not. atheist, non-believer, Muslim, Jezebite, whatever you are, Jesus is Lord. Amen. And you don't have to be in any political affiliation, any denomination. Jesus is Jesus. He is Son of the living God, the risen Savior of the world. And it doesn't matter whether we agree with that or not. He is just because he is. And so it brought me to mind, and I thought about it in the sense of preaching. And I looked at, again, our nation. I looked at the world. And Jesus is not just God of America. You know, we have a nice little slogan, a motto, if you will, in our country that says, God bless America, in God we trust, and all that kind of thing. But God is God. Amen. And it made me think of, and I'll hurry here, it made me think of the similarities between the children of Israel and what we call the pilgrims in our country, our nation. This nation, as we like to track history, we love history. We really, all of us really, in one form or another, are history buffs. Our families have history. Some of us know, I read an article in the paper and I saved it. I forgot the writer's name, but he does a lot of op-eds in the newspaper here, and he talked about losing the generations who know how to cook like mom and them, and the language that we shared back then, and how that's fading away. And we're kind of letting that happen, you know. Some of us didn't write down those recipes. How mama made bread pudding, and how, you know, notice I said pudding. It ain't pudding, it's pudding. If you make pudding, I don't want it. I want pudding. You know, how to really make chitlins and how to make succotash and all that kind of stuff, okra, corn, and tomatoes. You know, if your okra crunch when you eat it, it ain't done. Black folk, our okra got to be slimy. And yeah, that's okra, and you know, it's okra, you know, and so we're losing those things, but we're really history buffs, because every time, and some of you, if you went to the cookout yesterday, or you're going tonight or tomorrow, whenever, it ain't gonna be long before somebody say, "Remember when? Remember that time?" Michael Jackson said, "Remember the time?" And we have people who sit around and can recall all that stuff, and we know that whenever we're stumped, we can go ask Arnetha. Get Arnetha on the phone. Ask Arnetha. She'll tell you. You know, when you're in an argument, going, and somebody say, and then somebody say, "Well, Doris remember. She been around long enough. Ask Doris. She know." And so we take that history, and we fill in the blanks, and we fix stuff. And there's a generation of people who are here now that don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. These young people don't know nothing. Y'all think y'all know something. Y'all don't know nothing. Y'all don't know how to cook. Y'all don't know how to stretch a dollar. Y'all don't know how to add a little thickening to the gravy. Y'all don't know how to stretch and make ends meet. All y'all know is nothing. And we're losing, because there are people who have not taken a vested interest in what we were. That's why we ain't much of what we ought to be. We're losing some stuff. And that stuff is critical to usness. So Scott just passed out because I said usness. Somebody tap until it's going to be all right. But I looked at this, and when I got to this particular verse in Scripture, I stopped. Because if you look at Israel and you look at what we've become as the Americas, we really had some of the same issues to deal with. Israel had a Pharaoh. The beginning of this nation had a King George. Pharaoh was so mean and wicked that he commanded of them to make bricks without straw. Shut up the granaries and tried to starve a people. King George, we looked at him and said, "No taxation without representation." We fled on little boats and dinghies. We didn't leave on the QE2. What are our ancestors, whether we accept them because of their Caucasian background or not? But the beginning of this nation started with a people that wanted to be simply free. "Let my people go." That's what the Lord commanded of Moses to say to Pharaoh, that they might come and worship me in a desert place.
And one of the first things we did when we came to this country, as history says, is that we worshiped God. I'm hurrying. We worship God. We have always worshiped God. I don't understand why we're trying to not worship God. I don't understand why we keep trying to come up with this separation of church and state. There is no state without God. There is no nation without God. There is nothing without God. And God must always be worshiped and praised and adored and celebrated. We bless our food because there is no food without God. We bless our houses because there is no house without God. We pray on our job because there's no job without God. We go into that hospital and that surgery because there is no healing without God. And if God be for us, that's what he's done for me. He's been my everything. That's how they made bricks without straw, because there was a God. That's how they fed their families when the granaries were shut up in Egypt, because there is a bread of heaven. That's why we are who we are, with the red, white, and blue, and the stars and the stripes and the picnic. I don't know where the barbecue chicken and the ribs and the corn on the cob came in at, but I'm glad it did. That's what he's done for me. He's made my life worth living. He's made getting up in the morning a little easier. He's made facing my trials and tribulations a little easier. He's made storms navigable. He's made negative seas palatable. He's made hard things a little easier, because he is my freedom. He's my hope. He's my help. He's my desire. He's my joy. He's my sorrow. He's my pain. He is what makes my life. That's what he's done for me. He came on strong and never let up. Grandma and him used to say, I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. That's what he's done for me. He saved me. He saved me. And when we look at our lives, how can we not see? There he is. Gladys Knight said, you'll be there between every line of pain and glory. If anyone should write my life story, how will they ever, Sandra, talk about us and not talk about our God? How will our children walk across stages to pomp and circumstance and we not scream at the top of our lungs, thank you, Jesus? How will we pay our mortgages? How do we get our children out of a fix? How do we get out of a mess? How do we walk out of the hospital and not take a moment to fall on our face and say, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side? That's what he's done for me. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep me. If I should die before I wake, that's what he's done for me. He was always right there. And when I was messed up, when nobody else would take my phone calls, nobody else didn't think I was worth nothing, when they looked at my mom and dad and said, y'all must be some kind of shame for that boy to be doing what he's doing, that's where he was, right there. Grandma and them said, he stood right by my side. That's what he's done for me. I don't know what he's done for you. I don't know what he ain't done for you, but he's done everything for me. He's been everything I needed. He has always loved me. Always loved me. And here it is. I'm done. He says, you know, if you just do what I ask you, just do what I ask you. Just obey me and follow me. How many know that following him is going to end up in a good place? Yeah, following him, you're going to end up in a good place. He's the God who guides. God who gives, the God who's gracious. I was going to preach all of those points, but y'all in a hurry, so I just mentioned them to you. But I know that's what he's done for me. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I ain't scared. Nudge your neighbor, I ain't scared. He guides me. He walks with me and talks with me, even in narrow places. You know, sometimes when you get in narrow places, folk will leave you because there ain't enough room for both of y'all. But God will stay with you, even in the narrow places. It don't take nothing to celebrate with me, and I can buy half a cow and a keg of beer. But when I ain't got nothing but one drumstick and one little cup of milk, he walks with me and talks with me along the narrow. That's what he's done for me. He's a gracious God. When he should have cut me off, he opened up the windows of heaven, pulled me out of bed. I'm working better than I ever could have worked in my life. I'm driving better. Y'all ain't talking to him. I'm living better. You know he's been gracious to you. He multiplied rather than subtracted. Because he could have took everything, but he gave you everything. He could have said no, but he said yes. He could have said maybe, but he said absolutely. If you call me, I'll come to you. That's what he's done for me. He's been gracious to me. He's given me everything. Mama said, you won't have room enough to store up all he gave you. How many know your cup is overflowing? How many know your cupboard ain't bare? How many know you got no room left in your closet? You got shoes stacked on top of shoes. Y'all ain't talking to me. You can't close your bureau drawer. You can't find that little black dress because God has just blessed you and 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 blessed you. And blessed you. And that's what he's done for me. God is pushing overflow. Look at your name and say, ooh, wee doggy. Yes, sir. There's some Jed Clampets up in here. Wee doggy. That's what he's done for me. He picked me up. He's been a God of protection. When folk tried to kill me, cut me off. He said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets, do my children no harm. Nudge your neighbor, say, God won't let them get me. The God of protection. He's the God of potential. He says, you can do all things. I'm hurrying along. He said, you can do all things. He said, you can do all things. That's what he's done for me. He's raised the level of my potential. I didn't just shoot for the stars. He put my name on one. Gave me my own constellation. I'm rising all the time. That's what Grandma and them was saying when they said every round goes. God, how many know God has raised your potential? Yeah, yeah. Look at your name and say, that's what he's done for me. Yeah, yeah. I left the trade school and didn't get my diploma, but I worked somewhere 30 years. Now I get a retirement check. That's what he's done for me. I married somebody who just said they love me, and all of these years we just strived along and struggled together, but that's what he's done for me. Wasn't always easy, but I had somebody who at least was in my corner. Sometimes we was in opposite corner and needed a referee, but that's what he's done for me. How many know that it's strengthening your struggle? Some of you are not testifying like you ought to testify. That's what he's done for you. You ought to let folk know that you have fought hard for everything you got. You ought to let them know that you gave up some stuff to get a little stuff, and it didn't turn out like you thought it would, but you thank God anyway that it's as well as it is. That's what he's done for me. Some of us sitting in this room right now, as much as God has raised our potential, our level of potential, it still didn't turn out like we thought it would, but thank God it did. You thought you'd be a little higher than you are right now, but aren't you all right? That's what he's done for me. That's what he's done for me. But he's also been the God of my promise. He said he'd set me free. He told me he was going to come for me. And he did. He told me that he was going to deliver me. And he did. He told me that everything was going to turn out in form of celebration. You didn't remember? He said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy. That's what he's done for me. He gave me joy. I've had my good days. I've had my bad days. I've had my hills to climb. But I thank God that when I stopped crying, I had joy. Didn't have no money. Didn't have everything I thought of, but I had joy. How many know that sometimes joy is more than anything? Here's what the Bible says about that. Bible says he'll give me peace that surpasses my understanding. Anybody ever been in the land or it don't make no sense? Anybody ever been in the land, no matter how hard to try, you just can't seem to get ahead? But God will give you peace. Oh, God, he'll give it to you. That's what he's done for me. He's the God of all that I could ask, think, or imagine. He fixed my faults. Look at the neighbor, say, neighbor, this ain't the me I always was. Look at another neighbor, say, there's another me. I've been a rascal. Got my rascal card. I didn't ride a rascal. I was a rascal. He fixed my faults. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. That's what he's done for me. Whom the Lord has set free. Jesus, I'm done. 1 o'clock. Jesus says, it's for this call that I came into the world. I came to set them free. It's going to cost me. I'm going to give up my life. I know some of y'all are going to think it ain't worth it. Some of y'all are going to look back on history and say, Jesus, you did too much. These people were not worthy of such a sacrifice, but I want to do it for them. Because if I don't do it, they'll never be free. That's what he's done for me. He fixed my faults. I didn't mean to be that way. How many know that if you had your druthers, you'd druther have been something different? You'd druther not done it. And more than anything, you certainly druther not got caught. Say amen, somebody. But he's the God who's a fixer. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. Some of y'all carry around too much baggage, carry too much weight. You're struggling with stuff you ought not be struggling with. You can call it what you want. You can call it a vice, proclivity. You can call it anything you want to. But I'm here to tell you now that he's a fixer. Turn it over to the Lord and he'll work it out. Anybody know he'll work it out? He'll work it out. You've got to trust him to fix and forgive your faults. None of us are perfect. That's why I get happy when I think about what he's done for me. He redeemed me. I'm going on home now. He redeemed me, Addison. He came and rescued me. He redeemed me. He paid. Set my bond high where I couldn't get out. My family couldn't get me out, and my friends couldn't get me out. But they're not a friend. Y'all ain't talking to me. Jesus came in and paid the cost. That's why I sing, I am redeemed. Bible said that the captives would be released. How many know that some folk ain't happy you got out? But how many know he got you out? Yeah, he got He got, and a whole lot of us did not even sing him a new song, did not even turn around and give him praise, did not even lift up worship, but he got us out. Captives will be set free. And many of us sitting here today know that that's what he's done for me. When all is said and done, Laura, no, nobody's going to really remember the house, the car, but salvation. They're going to remember he was saved. I know because the Lord saved him. I know the Lord saved him because the Lord said he would. How many know God will keep his word? God will keep his word. He redeemed us. Then he forgave my faults by this is the good one here. He restored me. He made brokenness better. Woo, look at your name and tell him this ain't how I always was. Oh no, you don't want me to get back down there. But he restores us. That's why grandma and them would say, I looked at my hands look new. Somebody looked down at the feet. Somebody looked in the mirror and almost didn't recognize themselves. Because God is a restorer. God is a face fixer. God will make everything pass away so that all things will become. That's what he's done for us. He blotted out our transgressions when they went to pull our file and put the charges on our account. They couldn't find nothing. How many know God will hide stuff? How many know God will shield stuff? God will make stuff disappear. Bible said when my enemies were encamped round about me and came to get me, they couldn't get to me because he restored me. Feel like running because that's what he's done for me. And then he rejuvenated us. He gave me joy. He gave me peace. He gave me a lifting of my oppression. Satan had me bound. But the Lord. Mm-hmm. My friends and my neighbors were talking about me. But the Lord. They told me I had to get out the choir for a season so I can get myself together. They said I couldn't preach no more. They said I couldn't usher but the Lord. They told me I wasn't welcome on the hospitality committee. I couldn't even serve them the green beans no more. They didn't want me to stand on the door but the Lord. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are, that's what he's done for me, and are heavy laden and worn out by life. The vicissitudes of life have gotten to you, but if you come unto me, look at your name and say, if you go to him, if you go to him, if you call him, he'll answer you. If you lift up your hands, he'll grab it. If you run, he'll catch up to you, because the Lord will rejuvenate you. He'll give you the strength to run on and see what the end shall be. He'll make you happy again. He'll make you sing again. That's why the writer said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because y'all ain't talking to me. I know God is my deliverer. I know where my praise belong. I know where my joy belong. I know if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I'd have been dead and sleeping in my grave. And that's why I thank him like I do. That's why I jump up and down like I do. That's why I wave my hand like I do, because I know what he's done for me. The Lord has blessed me real good. The Lord restored me real good. The Lord brought me out when they left me. God is my deliverer. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my hope. The Lord is my help. The Lord is my everything. That's what he's done for me. And I thank him every day of my life, because the truth has made me free. I heard a voice from heaven, and I came. That's what he's done for me. He saved me. I don't care nothing about all that other stuff. He saved me. That's what he's done for me. So when people ask you about your Independence Day, You tell him that's what he's done for me. It wasn't the four founding fathers. It wasn't none of that kind of stuff. Y'all go ahead with that if that's what y'all need. But I will look to the hills from which cometh my help, knowing that my help cometh from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my bridge. The Lord is my help. That's what he's done for me. He saved me. When Jesus died, I had a chance. And I shall forever sing his praises. That's what he's done for me. I am redeemed. Bought with a price. He forgave and fixed my faults. And then the last thing he did was he fixed my future. He told me that he was going to prepare a place for me. That where he is, I'm going to be also. He fixed my future. He told me that I could live in freedom. Whom the Lord has set free. The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to everyone. Nudge your neighbor and say, you can get some of this. Because that's what he's done for me. Your children can get some of this because that's what he's done for me. Your husband can get some of this because that's what he's done for me. Your wife can get some of this because that's what he's done for me. The church can get some of this because that's what he's done for me. The neighbor can get, y'all ain't talking, can get some of this because that's what he's done for me. He gave me salvation. He gave me salvation. He gave me salvation. That's what he's done for me. I'm saved. I ain't rich, but I'm saved. Muhammad Ali, you say he the prettiest man alive. I ain't the prettiest man, but I'm saved. I ain't the best preacher, but I'm saved. Ain't the best deacon, but you're saved. Ain't the best trustee, but you're saved. Ain't the best usher, but you're saved. You ain't the best husband or the best wife. You're not the best son, the best daughter, but you're saved. And ain't that good enough? Ain't that good enough? I'm saved. And everybody don't like that. Everybody ain't happy for you that you're saved. But I know somebody who's clapping for you right now. I know somebody who's waving their hand right now. I know somebody who's vouching for you right now. His name is Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know. For this here Bible. Yes, I'm saved. That's what he's done for me. You enjoy the rest of your little holiday. You eat your ribs. Turn your chicken. Put some sauce on it. Marinate it first. Tastes better that way. Put your baked beans in the oven. A little cinnamon. Brown sugar. Cut some bacon up. Lay it across the top. Don't overcook them. They shouldn't look like refried beans. Amen. Get your corn on the cob. Don't put it in the water till the water's hot. 3 minutes is enough. Corn does not have to cook for 35 minutes. It won't be no good to nobody. 3 minutes. Because you need corn raw, really. All you want to do is heat it up with it, where they swell up just a little bit. Take them out the pot. Put some butter on it. Lots of butter. Not margarine. Butter. Potato salad should not be sitting out waiting on people. You kill half of the family like that. When it's time to serve the potato salad, send somebody with clean hands to the refrigerator. Not the refrigerator, just the refrigerator. Get a clean spoon, dip it out, pass it out, and then go put it back in the refrigerator. Don't leave the spoon in it. Amen. Potato salad. Whatever beverage you have, make sure it's cold. It's called icing it down. And for God's sake, and this is critically important, don't start no fight at the family reunion. This ain't your year to show out. Amen. But don't forget what he's done for you. So amen, we gone. We got behind a little bit, but we gone. See, look, closing the thing right here. But that's what he's done for me. He made me free. He saved me. And anything matters to you, it'll be your salvation. They had Pharaoh, we had King George. But here's the similarity that really caught my attention. Both the children of Israel and these new founding pilgrims all believed, trusted, and hoped in God. Neither one of them had ever met him face to face. Children of Israel never met him. They just believed in him. And those who came to this nation came trusting God. They all packed on a promise. And that's what he's done for us. If you're here today, let's stand on our feet. We're getting ready to go. If you're in this room today and you don't know that he's done that for you, I want to tell you that he will. If you're not a child of salvation today, as we're entering into this independent celebration, he'll do it for you. He will redeem you. He will restore you. He'll rejuvenate you. My grandmother was an old lady. She's gone, but she had a simple approach. Old people, and I know I'm getting old, and somebody will say this probably about me, but old people always seem to simplify the worst things. And they always made it like no matter what it was, it's a simple thing you can do that'll fix it. Y'all remember them days? Old people, no matter you could be bleeding out the head, then broke your arm, you know, been shot. And old people say stuff like, well, just go sit and calm your nerve, you'll be all right. Remember when they used to do that? You know, my grandmother thought taking a bath changed everything. I remember the worst stuff for me happening, grandma would say, well, just get you a bath and then sit down and rest yourself. Grandma, I can't find my foot. Well, just go and take a bath and sit down. You'll be all right. Grandma, I got this hole in the back of my head, hit me with a stick down in the park. But go on in there and take a bath, wash yourself off, and calm your nerves. You'll be all right. You know, old people made it so simple, you know. They never seem to get flustered. It's always something simple, you know. Never any complicated thing. You know, my cousin broke her arm, fell out of a tree, and they brought her around the house. She screamed and hollered. And my grandmother looked at her and said, now, wait a minute, what's all that hollering about? I'll never forget. I mean, this girl is screaming to no end. Her arm that's supposed to be right here, somewhere over here. And she was trying to get her arm. My grandma said, well, let me look at it. And I mean, she snatched the poor child's arm and twisted it and did something like that, like Mr. Miyagi. And she said, now, go on over there and sit down. You'll be all right. So my uncle came home that afternoon. I mean, this is early in the day. You know, my cousin was sitting right, you know, she wrapped, put a little thing. And my uncle comes and said, Mama, what happened to her arm? I said, oh, ain't nothing wrong. She fell out of the tree. She all right. He said, well, why you got arm? She said, well, she said it was hurting us. So I just told her, just hold up right there. She done had a bath and everything, ate a lunch. She good. Uncle said, Mama, take over to the hospital. Anyway, got to the hospital. I'm telling my cousin Latrell, y'all can ask. Got to the hospital, took in there, you know, and looked at it. And the doctor came back out and said, who set her arm? said that you can see where she had an issue, a broken fracture, whatever you call it. You know, it popped and did something. And my uncle said, I guess my mama did. He said, your mama a doctor? He said, no, but she thinks she is. And it was right. Whatever grandma did, that little twist, turn, pull thing, it was back where it's supposed to be. You know, when no bone broke, it just something happened, you know. And my grandmother said, well, you just throwing away money. I told you she was going to be all right. She had a bath, ate a sandwich. She wasn't crying no more. Now, you done took over there and got her crying again. But they just thought everything was so easy. And here's what I'm really trying to say. Your God loves you so much that it's so easy for him to fix it. No matter what is happening in your life, it's not that complicated. You could have had one of the worst seasons of your life. You could be in the worst storm right now. You could be thinking that this is the end. My marriage is over. I ain't going to have no job next week. They're coming to take all my furniture. They're going to get the car. Relax. All you need is salvation. You don't need all that other stuff, be honest with you. I know you're thinking to yourself, no, but Jesus addresses that. He said, listen, your Father knows you have need of these things. But let the first thing be first, and then everything else will fall into its proper place. It's so easy. Let him do what he wants to do for you. He wants to save you. And truth is the only thing that's really going to make you free. That's what he's done for you. No house, no car, no job, no monies will enter into the kingdom of God. None but the righteous shall see God. Let him save. And then when you save, watch how those things that you once thought were so important and such high priorities kind of fade off. You'll still eat. You'll still travel. You'll still need a house and car and that kind of thing. But they won't be the most important thing. Because all you'll remember every day of your life is that's what he's done for me. He said, when men ask of you concerning your relationship with God, you will give a good report. And say, of all the things I ever needed in my life, I got salvation. And that was the most important. If you're in this room today and you're not saved, you've not accepted the Lord's salvation, you've not come in, as we always said back in the day, the ark of safety. Come on home. The doors are open. The rich welcome and reception has been prepared. You are the guest of honor. This is the day the Lord has made concerning you. He'll fix your future. I watched a documentary some weeks ago, and it spoke to the fact that the thing that concerns most Americans or most people worldwide is what is going to happen to me then. Some talked of retirement. Some talked of what is going to happen after the job is over, this, that, and the other, when I get out of school. But everybody's concerned about their future. Nobody in this room is oblivious to that. We all know that there is a thing called tomorrow. It's always coming but never gets here. That's the joke. But God has fixed our future. That no matter what happens in the course of this life, when we die, we have a place that is prepared for us. That's why we die comfortable. We don't die fretting. Jesus said, I am telling you the truth. Believe this, that I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. They looked at him and said, Father, we don't mean any harm, but we don't know. He said, listen, you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believeth thou this, and you shall have all that I have promised unto you. And so I encourage you today to know him for yourself, and your future is already fixed. Therefore, laid up for me is a crown that shall be given on that day.
to them that have endured, have finished their course, your future's all right. So stop fretting. Stop getting all upset, pulling your hair out. Let every day have its thing. But at the end of that day, always remember, God be for us. That's more. More is always good. Be encouraged today and know that the Lord has done it for you. And he will keep every promise concerning you. That's what he's done for me. He's been gracious to me. He's guided me and he's given to me all I could ask, think, or imagine. And I love him for it. While you're standing here today, make a decision. If you've already made that decision, be proud that you did and encourage yourself to run on a little further. Don't get too frustrated because life can be frustrating, but your faith will win the day. Into every life, a little rain must fall. Storms do come, hiccups and setbacks, disappointment, trial, tribulation. God, this don't make no sense moments. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, and it leads to home. God, we thank you today for these, your children, who have stood in this place with us and endured the hour. Thank you, Lord, even for those who had to depart for whatever reason, whatever cause. We don't judge. We love. And we're learning each day and even each moment to love even more. One of the characters of the cultivated church is that we know how to love. So for all of your children, some among us are sick today. Some among us are beset with trials and tribulation. Look like we can't catch a break. We feel like it's coming and going, high and low tide at the same time. Lord, touch their minds that they would be at peace. Touch their hearts. They would beat with a melody of confidence. Calm their nerves. Peace be still. Though the storms yet rage on, Lord, be their anchor. Be the calm in every calamity. We spell them nearly the same in the beginning. It's what we do at the end that changes. And so, God, be both the Alpha and the Omega of all of our circumstances. Those who begin with you will finish with you. It's called faith. In this room today, we have celebrated milestones, possibilities, and even those moments. And so we thank you today for all that our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. We ask as a people special blessings upon Sister Erna Royal, that her life would continue to be filled with promise. We thank you, Lord, for those who are responsible. Thought it not robbery to make a little extra effort today that she can get her flowers while she yet lives, that she can see the love of a people and feel their comfort and their concern. Thank you, Lord, that we've all lived this day to know that there will always be a people that love and care for each and every one of us. Oh God, today touch our sons and our daughters, touch our families, near and far. Some have traveled, some will travel. Some stand united, some stand alone, but you are God. You know all the secrets. You know what we cannot discuss? You know what we dare not discuss? But Lord, be a fence. Be a bridge. Be the answer to every question. Solve every riddle. Pull back the layers that conceal, that we might know in surety they that are with us and they that are against us. Bless this people, their sons who are sick, their daughters, their husbands, their wives. We pray, God, special prayers of healing to be contained upon the lives of two of our mother's sons, all the way over in Tennessee and all the way over in Forest, Virginia. You know their names, their faces, and their fate. But these mothers have lifted up their sons, and Lord, you will make a way somehow. Continue to heal them. And let others know that when accidents do come, even when malicious things are done, we can have a little talk with Jesus. And he will make everything all right. For daughters, sons, husbands and wives, high blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cancer, we pray against those things that would hurt the body, cannot touch our very souls. Oh God, as we turn from this place today, let us go out rejoicing in what you've done for us. And we shall remember the words of the song, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He is." And let every man and woman fill in the blank accordingly, for you are everything to all of us. And different just the same. Forgive us of our sins, we pray. Lord, have mercy. Give us now traveling mercies that we'll get home safely or wherever we desire to go. And those who are coming to join with us in celebration will arrive and return home safely as well. The highways are busy this week, Lord, and millions are traveling. Some will be irresponsible, drink and drive, and accidents will happen. Negligence will occur, maliciousness. Oh, God, be offense. And Lord, where there is an offense, let us not be the offending party. Let us not be the one. Let it not be our sons or our daughters. Let it not be our husbands or our wives. Let us be responsible in our celebrations. And then bring us back again soon. That we can tell our stories of that's what he's done for me. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. When you get ready to go out today, remember, be careful. Watch those children around pools and swimming holes and all that kind of stuff. And watch the fire. Don't let anybody get in.